This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Tiki and Tierney. I'm Tiki Barber. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. CBS Sports Radio. Tiki Barber hosting solo while BT is preparing for the St. John's Arizona State game, which is happening out at the University of Dayton Arena. St. John's, as you just heard from Max Update, have not been in the tournament in a really, really long time. But what makes this one interesting, St. John's, coached by a star, Chris Mullins, ASU, also coached by a star, at least in the basketball sense of the word, Bobby Hurley. So lots of interesting storylines in that game, which is at 9:20 or 9:40 or so Eastern, 6:40 Pacific, on True Television. So check that out. But we're gonna instead of talking college basketball this hour, we'll hit college basketball next hour with Seth Greenberg. We're gonna start with the NBA, and there's lots of interesting stories, but one, a couple in particular that are catching my I are in the Southwestern division of the Western Conference. And by now you've heard about James Harden's exploits on the basketball court. And I've been talking all season about how appreciative I am of James Harden's game. BT, my co-host who was out, hadn't really appreciated. He thought he was becoming too much of an ISO player, a chucker, so to speak, someone who would disappear sometimes. But I think I bought into the narrative of what James Harden was selling, which was we had so many injuries. The Rockets had so many injuries at the beginning of the season. What choice did he have other than to play the way that he was playing? And I get how people can be turned off by that, because the teams that are winning, the teams that have won championships, really the team, I should say, that has won the championship over the last few years, the Golden State Warriors, are all about unselfishness and sharing the ball and ball movement and all of these things that sound really good when talking about a team sport. But James Harden accomplished something last night which is a first in the history of the NBA. He scored 30 points. He scored 31 points, I should say, last night in the game. But it is the first time that a NBA player has scored 30 points or more in a game at least once against every NBA team in a season. So all other 29 teams that he's played against, James Harden has scored 30 points against. Now think about how hard this is to do. You come into a game, you know that, let's say it's early in the season when they were banged up. There's one player that you have to try to corral and shut down. Maybe you double team him. Maybe you rotate man defense on him over and over. You just wear him out. At some point, or maybe you hope he just has a bad day. At some point, he just isn't going to be productive. But James Harden keeps dropping the ball into the hoop each and every night. And not only did it sustain and pull the Rockets out of an early season doldrum, they were in the basement of the Western Conference to start the season. I think they were 14th at one point. That's how bad they were. To now just being 3.5 games behind the Golden State Warriors in the West. Now, they're probably not going to catch them. The Golden State Warriors do have a lot of incentives to be the number one seed. It's even though they've been less dominant at home historically, especially in the postseason, if the Golden State Warriors are home, they're dominant. So they're going to want to hang on to that top seed in the Western Conference. But James Harden and the Rockets are coming. They're 12 out of the last 13 that they've won. They've been dominant on the road their last 10. They've won all 10 of their last 10 road games. And James Harden, who, you know, at one point in the season had to be the dominant ball hog, so to speak, and take the majority of the shots, is now distributing. He had a double-double last night. Obviously, Clint Capella is the major benefactor of that. He had his own double-double with 22 points or 23 points and 11 rebounds. Chris Paul actually had his own double-double. He was in double figures in points and assists. This Rockets team benefits, I think, from James Harden's ability to be a creator, to be a dominator, to, even if you want to say it's a ball stopper, if you're putting the points in the bucket, and more importantly, you're getting to the foul line for the freebie, so they're highly efficient buckets, how can you have an argument against James Harden? I know sometimes people don't want to see it, but it's a marvel to watch him do what he's done, not just this season, but last year when he was the MVP. And I got to tell you, I know that it's not ideal to see a guy just ISO pound the ball into the court at the top of the key and then, you know, do one crossover or step back and take a shot. But he had a play yesterday against the Atlanta Hawks on Kent Bazemore, which if you're on social media, you've seen this because it went ridiculously viral. James Harden is up at the right wing, and he's walking, you know, as he always does, pounding the ball into the court, walking up, to the 3-point line. Kent Bazemore's got his hands out. He's ready, good defensive position. He's going to do what he's going to do. He's long enough so he can be disruptive on any runouts that he has to do on James Harden. So he's kind of the perfect defender. James Harden embarrassed him and had him turning around to the point where he looked like he was lost. James Harden obviously went to the hole and got an easy bucket. But it was interesting when I read the comments that Kent Bazemore had to put out, right? It was so bad. I mean, you get crossed up so bad, and you look so silly that you have to respond on social media. That's saying something about James Harden. This is Kent Bazemore on Twitter, I think this was, or maybe it was Instagram. Who knows what it was? But he felt compelled to respond. He got embarrassed so badly. And here's his quote. Okay, so I feel like you guys want an explanation. It's always a chess match against James Harden, one of the best ISO players the game has ever seen. I completely agree with that. Right, we talk about Kyrie Irving having this massive crossover and these handles to make you look embarrassing. And he knows how to score, whether from range or at the rim. Also, James Harden is right there with Kyrie Irving in being able to manipulate you, yo-yo-yo, with the basketball. He goes on and says, gives Bazemore, quote, I use the spin on defense to recover for better recovery. You know, so when James Harden comes up to you, think he's going right, you spin, and right, and you surprise him. You try to play that chess match by spinning before he does what he does or stepping back. He says, here's what happens. Either I spin or I fall. I chose the lesser of the two evils, meaning he spun, because James Harden will cross you up and make you look silly. James likes to step back from the three when the ball is in his left hand, which is why I moved up the floor after the spin. Had he done that, I would have been in position to get a solid contest. Obviously, I guessed wrong, and that's what makes him such a great scorer. He's patient with the dribble. There are a ton of things I could have done to put myself in a better position, but when dealing with an assassin, they attack you when you're most vulnerable. Great move, bro. This is Kent Bazemore, who got embarrassed. He's basically applauding James Harden after he embarrassed him. Samter, put that out on social media because it's awesome. You have to see it. You've seen James Harden make guys fall down. This one is worse because Kent Bazemore looks like he has no idea what he's trying to do. And this is why James Harden is so amazing. And this is why James Harden is going to win the MVP again this season. And this is why James Harden, and by extension, the Houston Rockets, are an actual threat to the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference. James Harden has confidence. You hear him talking now. He's saying, I feel like I'm the best that's out there. We all want to throw these conversations. It's always LeBron. LeBron's not in the conversation this year, but it's always LeBron. Or if it's not LeBron, it's got to be KD. KD, who goes to the Golden State Warriors, wins a couple championships, get a couple finals MVPs. KD's got to be the best player in basketball. James Harden is actively and convincingly telling himself and anyone that will listen that he's actually the best player in the game. And I got to tell you, after watching him against the Hawks last night, after seeing him drop 50 a couple of times this year, after hearing the stat that every team, all 29 other teams in the NBA, he's dropped a 30 spot on this season, which nobody else has done, that's impressive. It's somewhat of stat collecting. It doesn't feel like what Russell Westbrook does. It doesn't feel like a guy who is just a ball hawk and gets rebounds or easy rebounds or throws unnecessary passes just to get the assist like Russell. Russell felt like he was stat collecting when he won his MVP two seasons ago. This doesn't feel like that, because early in the season when James Harden had the score, he pulled them out of the basement. Now that James Harden doesn't have to score and seemingly, at least to himself, feels like he can do it at will, and if he doesn't need to, he just throws a lob to Clint Capella, who's scoring it at like a 75% efficiency because all of his field goal opportunities are dunks at the rim because you're so concerned about James Harden. This Rockets team is exciting as hell to watch. Maybe people were obscured, not focused on it early in the season because of how bad they were and how individually focused, James Harden focused they were. This Rocket team is fun. They're 3.5 games out of the Western Conference lead. They're not going to get there. But if there's one team, and we saw it last year, they took the Golden State Warriors to the brink. And if it hadn't been for Chris Paul getting hurt, they damn well might have beat them. This Rockets team is serious, and mainly they're serious because James Harden is the man. And we don't put him in the conversation as the best player in basketball. But damn it, if you've watched him, you might want to consider James Harden as the best player in basketball. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. What do you think? You love James Harden's game? You love the way that he goes about it? Or do you prefer what the Warriors do or some of these other teams like the Bucks do, where they share the ball a little bit more? I'm entertained when I watch James Harden. And at the end of the day, basketball, just like football, just like baseball, it's a sport of entertainment. He's the kind of guy that makes you jump out of your seat. Tell me what you think. 855-212-4227. On this side, we're going to talk about Doc Rivers' decision to stay with the Clippers, as he verbally agreed to an extension, and also the team that we always, always, always tend to overlook in that same division as the Rockets. That would be the San Antonio Spurs. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I see you all on the phones right now. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Are you buying James Harden or you don't love James Harden? Here's another stat for you. 890 three-pointers. 890 three-pointers. That's how many James Harden has taken this season. That is an NBA record, surpassing Steph Curry's 886 from a couple of years ago. Guess what? There's 12 games left. He's going to shoot 1,000 three-pointers. And that's not even like the big part of his game. I know that he steps back and he knocks him down and he embarrasses you in your mug as he's holding his hand up and running back up the court after he drops a three-pointer. But he scores at the rim. And he crosses you up and makes you think he's stepping back and goes around you and either scores at the bucket or gets a foul and knocks down some free throws, the easy ones that he's shooting a ridiculous percentage of. James Harden's amazing. He is a fantastic score, but different type of score than we talk about when we talk about scores. When we think about Melo, Melo's a boring ISO guy. James Harden isn't that. He's different. And most importantly, he's helping his team win. 3.5 games out of first place right now. And if you're the Rockets and you start looking at the standings and you say, who could we potentially play? OKC could be on the list here. The Rockets versus OKC, that'd be a hell of a matchup to see in the postseason. Let's get some of your calls. 855-212-4227. I'll start at the top of the list and go to John, who is in Iowa. John, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. You like this or no?
Hey, yeah, I do like it. Yes, I could probably agree right about now. He's probably the number one offensive player in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we care about, scoring in the NBA, right? And so some people want to hate on him because he doesn't play great defense, but he's expending so much energy. He can only do so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not all high scorers play great defense.
Yeah, and that's why you have Clint Capella. That's why you have P.J. Tucker. You have these other guys to do those other things. Thank you for your call, John. Right? Not everybody's a complete player. Not everybody can be LeBron James when he was in his prime, who started to score at will, improved his three-point shot, and would chase you down and block you from behind at the rim, you know, expending that energy. Look at LeBron now. LeBron's a shell defensively of who he used to be. Let's get Marshall, who is over in Detroit, or I should say up in Detroit. Marshall, welcome to Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think?
How you doing?
I am well. Yourself?
Good. Excellent. I like James' game. I think James is an exciting player, but James is a little overrated.
What? How can you say he's overrated? He's leading the league in scoring. The team is 3.5 games out of first place. Let's not forget, they started the season in the basement. I mean, they had to come from a long way because of their injuries. How can you say he's overrated?
He scored a lot to help them when Chris Paul was hurt.
Yep.
The reason why I say that is, James is allowed to push off with his off arm,
and he then does get away with that
two or three times if that's what it takes for him to get open for his step back jumper. And then he has developed his 3-point shot. I give him that credit for that, and he can score in a variety of ways, whether it's floaters or 3-pointers or whatever. But he is allowed to push off. And I'll give you another example why he's not the best player in the league.
That's a good point, by the way. He does, for those that aren't following what he's saying. He gets away with like fouls and traveling almost every game. And for some reason, they don't call it. And so if you're not going to call the rules as they're designed, anybody, a smart player, and James Harden is a smart one, is going to exploit it. Go ahead, finish.
Yes, and then the other thing is, if you look in the big games, in the playoffs, the last 3 years, he's fallen on his face.
He has, but you know, some of that wasn't his fault, and a lot of it was because his game wasn't fully developed. 2 years ago, BT and I rail about this all the time, how he got shut down. I think it was against the Spurs. He just got shut down. He went very timid. He didn't have the aggressiveness that we're used to seeing him having. But he was 27, I believe, at the time, because he's 29 now. Yeah, he's 29 now, not quite 30. He learned what he needed to develop. Let's get Larry, who's out in Las Vegas. Larry, welcome to Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What do you think?
Yeah, I just don't think that James Harden should be the MVP because he doesn't play defense.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't.
I mean, there's been guys. Mention,
go ahead.
In 1988, Michael Jordan scored more points than anybody in the NBA, and he was the defensive player of the year at the same time.
Yep.
And that's half the game. And so,
yeah. But Larry, let's be fair. I love James Harden. He's not Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? I'm not comparing him to Michael Jordan, because Mike was the man. And it was a different game also, right? It was a different way that you had to score back in the late 80s and the early 90s. Now the game is so wide now. You know what I mean? It's so spread out. And James Harden exploits that because he's so quick and so good off the dribble. Right? Let's not confuse. Let's not mix this up. I'm not talking about historically James Harden. I'm talking about 2019 James Harden. The dude's a man. He really is. And if you watch him, he's exciting as hell. Let's get Tony, who's out in Wisconsin. Tony, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. What do you think?
Hey, Tiki, how you doing?
I am well. Yourself?
Oh, hanging in there. So
good.
I guess my thought is on it, when it comes to Harden, yeah, all the numbers are there, you know, as far as offense and whatnot. I guess I kind of, you look at a lot of the major sports and they all seem to be going the same direction as far as wanting more offense, less defense, yeah. more points.
Do you like that or you hate that? You like it or you hate it?
You know, I kind of like a balanced game, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the offensive portion of it, but at the same time, you got a chess match to get a good defense and against a good offense. To me, that makes a better game, you know. And so when I look at a player like Harden, yeah, he doesn't have the defense. Yeah, he's putting up monster numbers for the offense. I love it. But at the same time, I think the MVP of any league needs to be the player that lifts the team up, you know, beyond what it can normally do on, you know, any given night, any given circumstance.
Yeah,
that's kind of what an MVP
yeah, but
be.
But okay, but think about this, Tony. If James Harden wasn't on the Rockets, I mean, they wouldn't win 25 games, right? Sorry, I think we lost you there, Tony. Sorry, we dropped you there. But yeah, I get your point. The offensive side of it, you love. You don't love the defensive side. But this is why they have a rim protector in Clint Capella, right? This is why. They have defensive powers on that squad that take care of those things for James Harden because he expends so much energy on the offensive side and it's effective and it's awesome. You know, the comparison, and it's so hard because you look at a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is also in this MVP conversation, and the Bucks have been unbelievable. First, best record in the NBA right now, 53 wins to 18 losses on the season. They just lost Malcolm Brogdon for a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see how his loss impacts this team as they push into a closer to the postseason. Hopefully he's healthy once they do get to the postseason because it would suck for them to have to, you know, play without him after being such a big contributor to this team. But Chris Middleton is also there, so they have the scoring that they need. But Giannis is just – he's different. Like, he's so physically dominant, the kind of guy who on fast breaks just moves up the court and, you know, four or five steps and is at the rim. He's impossible to defend. James Harden does most of his damage in the half court, and it takes work. And when he gets it done in an awesome fashion. The other team, before we get to break here with Rich Ackerman, that I've just been keeping an eye on, and I don't even know if I've thought about them a lot this season, simply because of all that they have lost. We remember the drama with Kawhi Leonard last year, and Tony Parker is no longer there, and feels like. Ginobili is just getting old. He's 40. He was 40 years old. We counted out the Spurs. The Spurs have won 9 games in a row. They have the longest streak in the NBA currently and have put themselves right back into the conversation in the Western Conference. I believe they're 5th, right, Sam? So they're 5th in the West right now. Yeah, the San Antonio Spurs are 5th in the West right now. They just beat the Golden State Warriors. And contrary to how we were talking about James Harden and the Rockets playing, or even the Golden State Warriors, how they're playing, they play slow as hell. They're 22nd in pace in the NBA right now. And it's old school. They dump the ball down to LaMarcus Aldridge, not even in the post. It's more like in the mid-range. And they have this ISO game. He puts his back to the basket, and he turns around and takes these mid-range jumpers. But DeMar DeRozan, who has always been one of the great creators in the game, is doing his thing as well. They have a 10th-rated offense in basketball. And it's slow, and it's old school, but they're scoring points. I mean, it's impressive. This might be one of the most impressive jobs that Coach Popovich has done. Now, they're going to have trouble in the postseason because their defensive metrics on the road are gross compared to what they normally do. For whatever reason, when they travel, they don't play good defense, and that's not a signature of Coach Popovich. But don't, like we always do, count out the San Antonio Spurs simply because they don't seem vintage or seems like they don't have a star. They don't have a James Harden. They don't have that person. But I always believe this. Coaching is not imperative, but it is important once you get to the postseason. And Pop has coaching karma on his side once he gets to this part of the season. And somehow they always seem to be in the conversation, even when we don't think they should be in the conversation. Yes, Samter.
Just a quick question. We look at how good the Raptors have been with Kawhi, legit Eastern Conference contenders. But more likely than not, I mean, unless Kawhi changes his mind, he's going to be gone next year. If you were looking back right now to that trade before the season, DeMar DeRozan going to the Spurs, they're now fifth in the West.
Yeah.
Potentially even move up because I think they're like a game or a half a game behind the Blazers for fourth. If you're looking back right now, knowing what could potentially happen with Kawhi leaving, who gets the better end of the deal, assuming Kawhi's gone?
Mm-hmm. And DeRozan is on a...
He's got another 2 years after this.
I mean, probably San Antonio. It's crazy. You wouldn't have thought it. But that just goes to show you, really smart minds. Let's not forget, Greg Popovich was an executive before he was a coach, so he can think about these things on a different level. Think about the roster, not just immediately, but the roster a year or 2 years down the road. He played that well. He really did play that well because the San Antonio Spurs are currently fifth. Already winners of 42 games, including 9 in a row in the Western Conference, and headed into the postseason playing their best basketball. The Spurs, we always want to overlook them. We shouldn't do that. Football at the 40s coming up on the other side of this break. But before we get there, Richard Ackerman, please give us an update. It's that time of day on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Look, I'm a poet, didn't even know it. That is, it's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show when I will answer one of your questions. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. 440 Eastern, 140 Pacific here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber sitting in solo. BT is getting prepared for St. John's taking on Arizona State tonight. But tomorrow we're going to talk to former Bobby Hurley. He is the head coach at Arizona State. Assistant Nate Oates of the Buffalo Bulls. They're mid-major and they're waiting to see who wins that Arizona State St. John's game. He'll be up tomorrow on Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. There are a lot of interesting football stories again today, including Le'Veon Bell speaking about his time with the Steelers and what he loved about it and what he hated about it. Obviously, Big Ben is in this conversation as well. Sam, do you ready? Let's hit it.
40-yard kick right half.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
So it seems like a lot of people, at least former Steelers, seem to have a problem with Big Ben. We saw Josh Harris accuse Big Ben of fumbling on purpose. Antonio Brown said he has an owner's mentality. And now Le'Veon Bell, in a lengthy piece with Sports Illustrated, said, yes, it was a factor, saying that Roethlisberger's attitude is a factor in why he didn't want to stay.
Are we surprised
with the
by
Steelers.
This? Are we surprised at all by this?
Well, I don't know if I'm surprised. I just don't know how much I buy it. So Marquise Pouncey, who's still on the Steelers, says, I've been with Ben going on 10 years. And I swear on my kids, he's a true leader.
Yeah, but
sucks to see players who leave and are mad at the organization try to point fingers.
Here's
like they
my problem: Pouncey has an argument, but he doesn't benefit or not benefit the same way that the guys who are criticizing Ben Roethlisberger benefit or don't benefit. Basically, what Le'Veon Bell is saying is that Ben wants to win. You know, desperately wants to win. He's eager to win, but he wants to do it his way. So if he gets mad at you, he doesn't chuck you the ball. He doesn't give it to you. I get it. I can understand why that could start to creep into your mind. Antonio Brown has said this multiple times. I'm sure that's part of the reasons that they had some of their tiffs last season. But Le'Veon Bell, Le'Veon Bell had a massive usage rate. I don't see how Le'Veon Bell can fall into that same, can have that same gripe that Antonio Brown did. You know, the other side of this, Sampton, I know you saw the story as well, was that Le'Veon said that the Steelers don't treat players like humans. They don't let you play. They don't want you to be playing video games or doing what you want to do. They want you to be working out all the time, doing this and doing that and the other thing. But they also, in this article that we were reading on Pro Football Talk, we're talking about the contract offer that Le'Veon didn't get in 2017. Essentially, Le'Veon wanted his $12 million franchise tag guaranteed, plus the next year's franchise tag, which would have been $14 million guaranteed. So essentially, $26 million guaranteed over 2 years. And the Steelers wouldn't do that. So we'd have believed that the Steelers wouldn't give Le'Veon 26 over 2 years and then push out the rest of the deal, whether it's 3 or 5, doesn't even matter. I mean, 5 or 6 years doesn't, those last 4 years don't really matter. I find that hard to believe. I think this might just be some positioning for Le'Veon Bell and his team to try to save face after sitting out a year and not getting paid at all. He did get a big contract. What is it, 35 guaranteed with the New York Jets? So I guess it worked out for him. Whether he was the winner or loser in this is to be determined, so to speak. He got his money, but it was at the expense of losing a year of productivity on the football field.
Well, speaking of another player who missed some time playing in the NFL, Johnny Manziel, officially with the AAF and the Memphis Express, met with the media yesterday and was very, very open. He was asked specifically if he ever lost the passion to play football, and you'll be surprised at how he responded.
I think there was a point in time, maybe a couple years ago, I had some questions about that. And, you know, since then, I've done a lot of soul searching and a lot of looking at myself in the mirror and coming to the realization that when I'm on the football field and when I'm on a team, my life is substantially better. And that doesn't change with being here. Just walking into the locker room yesterday, seeing the guys, getting to be one of the guys and be around, get back into a playbook, get back into being around coaches and getting coached is all I could ask for in my life and exactly what I want to do with my life.
I mean, good for him for at least acknowledging it, but it's a little bit disappointing. And another thing that he said that we thought was interesting was he was asked if he can make it back to the NFL and if he was, you know, confident in his abilities.
I have a lot of confidence in my skill level. You know, I don't get away from the game very often. You know, I keep a football in my hand and I stay working out and doing what I need to do to try and, you know, better myself, you know, almost daily. So my confidence level is high. I believe I still have a unique skill set and still have the ability to play at any level, anywhere.
Do you see Johnny getting back?
I don't know if he's going to get back to the NFL, but I think this is the perfect landing spot for him. Charlie Ebersole spoke about this as well. He said, Johnny, this is Charlie's quote, Johnny is the epitome of a generational player who has had his struggles, both personal on and off the field. We think there's an opportunity in a league like ours, and there certainly is, even though his hometown, I guess you put that in quotes, his hometown team in the AAF, which would have been the San Antonio Commanders, declined their option. He did land with the Memphis squad, and it's important that he goes there, the Memphis Express, under Mike Singletary, because Memphis stinks in the AAF. They're 1-5 right now. Their starting quarterback to start the season was Christian Hackenberg, who was as bad as he was in the NFL at the two stops that we saw him at, both with the New York Jets and the Oakland Raiders. So Johnny Manziel, who may or may not play this weekend, I hope he does, because if he does, it's going to boost viewership for that game. I think it's the evening game on Sunday, Johnny, the Memphis Express. I think it's the evening game on Sunday on the NFL Network. Johnny should play, and it'll be interesting to see him play professional football, not the Canadian version, but this type of football that's akin to the National Football League. This is a big win for the Alliance. I really think it is. I think it's a big win for Johnny Manziel. He sounded very lucid and very aware of himself in that interview. Now, that's just rhetoric. It's not, you know, it's nothing to do with his actions. We don't know his actions, but he sounded right. And I hope he plays right because it'd be a good comeback story.
So Robert Kraft, we talked about yesterday, was offered a plea deal. Whether or not he was going to take it is up in the air. Turns out it seems like he's not going to take the plea deal, which literally would have just been say that you would have been guilty and we'll drop the charges. Now he's saying not only am I not going to accept that plea deal because he thinks he can win in court, he's also filing a motion to suppress all the evidence, which means there will be no video, thankfully, of Robert Kraft floating out there, we hope. But if all the charges are dropped and he doesn't admit guilt, or if he is found not guilty, we know the NFL has punished people who have not been charged or not been found guilty of crimes. Do you think the NFL still comes down hard on Kraft for being involved
here? Yeah, I think they do. I honestly think this is a mistake for him not to take this deal because it would make it go away. We'd talk about it for maybe a day, and then we wouldn't think about it anymore. I mean, because ultimately, who cares, right? He's not part of a sex trafficking ring. We know that. And with that, you know, criminal enterprise being unassociated with him, the only thing we're talking about is getting some pleasure in a spa, which hundreds of thousands of men have done, really billions of men have done over the history of the world. Not to, you know, downplay it, but I don't really care about that. If he didn't do anything illegal, other than, you know what, then I don't care. He should have taken this deal. I think it's wrong for him to let this thing play out. I might have to go talk to Berkowitz, see what the heck is wrong with him. But if he gets off, no pun intended, I guess it was worth it. But you don't need to keep this in the media. Like, we don't need to be continue to talk about this. Bad move, Robert Kraft.
Couple quick signings. Cowboys adding Randall Cobb to take the place of Cole Beasley. Cobb hasn't had over 850 yards in 4 years. He's fallen off sharp.
Yeah, he got old quickly, Randall Cobb.
Injured, old, yeah. Quick. Who
I think
knows?
It's mostly the injury things that were been hampering him. But I think this is a good signing for the Cowboys. Randall Cobb is a really good, diverse receiver. He can play out in the backfield as well. He's not as athletic and young as a Tyreek Hill type player. But the things that Tyreek Hill is doing are some of the things that Randall Cobb used to do early in his career with the Green Bay Packers. This is a good signing by the Cowboys.
And the Rams are going to be adding Clay Matthews to that defense that seems to be getting a little bit better every game.
Yeah, look, the Rams are trying to they know their window to win a championship with a cheap quarterback is shrinking. Jared Goff, he keeps playing the way that he has been playing, is going to be in line for a big payday, and it's not going to be as easy to acquire the pieces that you need on any given offseason. So I think this is a smart signing. I don't know how much Clay Matthews has left in the tank. He moved around outside, inside a couple times with the Green Bay Packers and was still somewhat effective, but I think it's a good signing for them because it adds some more veteran leadership to that other side of the ball.
We've talked a lot about the guys who have been signed, but there's a lot of guys who are still out there. Ndamukong Suh, Eric Berry, Jared Cook, Ziggy Ansah, Jay Ajayi, Justin Houston, Trey Boston. Another name that kind of stands out, got a big deal and kind of underperformed, but was an all-pro type player, Mo Wilkerson, formerly the Jets and the Packers. He got hurt last year. Darquez Dennard, TJ Yeldon. I mean, there's a lot of really big names still out there that can impact a team.
Muhammad Wilkerson, I think, is an interesting one. He had 12 sacks if you go back to 2015. And we're talking about a D tackle, not a DN. When he was really good, we thought he was trending towards a great player. Injuries, maybe lack of motivation led to some of that, souring opinion on him. I think the issue with Ndamukong Suh is he's looking for a longer-term deal. He doesn't want to play on one-year deals. And I'll be honest with you, at this point in his career, I wouldn't either. I want to find a place where I can finish out my career where I'm going to be desired for the long haul. But I think the biggest one that's still out there that's surprising me is Eric Berry. We know that his health has been the big issue, but Eric Berry is a difference maker. And some team is going to likely steal him. I know he's going to be 30 in December, but he missed a couple seasons with some injuries, some tread on the tire, but it's not enough, at least in my mind, to invalidate him as a productive piece of a really good defense.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Next hour, we're going to talk a lot of college basketball. Our bracket challenge tomorrow at noon. You got to get it in. Maybe we'll give you some pointers to help you figure out what to do. And Seth Greenberg, ESPN's college basketball analyst, will join us. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports 3.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.